I'll split this into two. Do you know, I'll let you into a little secret. When I got home last night, I looked at my notes and I shredded them. I tore them up. I don't know whether anybody's done that, whether it's going back to school days, homework, or having to write an essay and getting part of the way through and thinking, I've just made this too complicated. And Galatians, although it's just six chapters, letters written by Paul, there's so much in Galatians. So let's just tell you a little bit about the when, where and why and the clear message before we move on. Written by Paul in about 50 AD to the churches in Galatia, which is now East Turkey. In response, yes, to another quarrel. And quite a few of his letters were in response to people in the church losing the way and quarrelling about it. This time, due to a group of people called Judaizers, or Judaizers, continually demanding, as pointed out in Acts 15, verse 5, if non-Jews want to become Christians, they must obey the law of Moses and be circumcised to become Jews first. The clear message from Paul is twofold. Firstly, God treats Jews and non-Jews in the same way. He wants everyone to receive new life simply by faith in Jesus Christ. We go right back to Genesis, actually. Genesis 12, verse 3, states towards the end of that verse, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham, whether they're natural descendants or not, but all people. So there's no exclusion. Second part of the message is forgiveness, salvation, and our freedom is a gift given us to us freely through the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not a reward received by the number of good deeds done or the amount of money given to charities or through actions imposed by laws and worldly expectations made by mankind, but through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our first reading is under Children of God, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Okay. Under Children of God. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And this is a bit I wanted to point to you. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who called out Abba, which is Aramaic for father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Got something just to add to that. Under Roman law, an adopted child was guaranteed all legal rights to his father's property. Even if he was formerly a slave, he was not a second-class son. He was equal to all other sons, biological or adopted. As adopted children of God, we share with Jesus all rights to God's resources. As God's heirs, we can claim what he has provided for us, our full identity as his children. In Romans, this is repeated, chapter 8, verse 15, it says that we are co-heirs. I'm just going to do a parallel with an Old Testament, New Testament. And I just felt this was quite interesting, wanted to share it with you. No one is given quite as much space in the Old Testament as Moses. Indeed, there's a lot about Isaiah's writings and indeed Elijah in Kings. As a young man, he was wanted for murder. We sometimes forget that about Moses, don't we? Moses became a fugitive, fleeing to the desert. His people were living as slaves, thousands and thousands of them in Egypt. God called to him from a burning bush that did not burn up. "Lead my people out of slavery," he said. God said those very well-known words upon Moses asking the name of this God, talking to him, "I am who I am." In Exodus chapter 20, it covers this really well. Moses received God's law on Mount Sinai, 10 commandments, 8 starting with the words, "You shall" or "you shall not." God's laws, yes, not mankind's, not man-made, not rules or customs. They represent good. Each represents love, which is God. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, which we'll come on to, hence the shopping bags you're looking at here, after our next hymn. Given to us, if we listen and seek, they uphold, nurture, mould and grow God's commandments. What is said in God's commandments. So Moses, if you like, was responsible through the actions of God to release all the people from slavery. As indeed the New Testament with Paul as well. So along comes Paul, in some ways like Moses, to free Christians and would-be believers from slavery. And this is slavery for misinterpreting the commandments, adding in bits, distorting God's foundation of love, those commandments. Making it appear that you have to belong to a club, that you must act in a certain way or we won't let you in. Our rules and regulations, as far back as 50 AD and before and ever since. Going back in time, it was men had to be circumcised, women having to cover their heads, no eating pork, and definitely not working or even helping others on the day of the Sabbath. Church started to look exclusive, not inclusive. I wonder sometimes whether we accidentally do that today by inadvertently misplaced zealousness. No jeans, no foreigners, no divorcees, unsure about the homeless. We'll keep it under the church roof. Are we safe and cozy in our church life? Have we believers, and there are millions across God's universe, help those unsure about their faith, which are indeed millions, really let them know about Jesus through prayer, talk, and actions? However, I transgress. Back to Paul. Last time, 2 weeks ago, covering 1 Corinthians, we looked at Paul's upbringing as a Pharisee and a tent maker. We looked at his personal involvement for the deaths of many, many Christians. We looked at his journey to Damascus, where he hears Jesus' voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" We looked at the fact that 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament are attributed to Paul. 7 written by him, and 4 written from a prison cell, written when he was imprisoned in Rome. But something about Paul on who he wanted to reach, which I didn't really cover. There were 3 main languages. Hebrew, known by the Jews, of course. Aramaic, by Jesus and the Palestinians. And Greek. There was the literary Greek. The posh Greek language. And there was the common Greek. Now, papers have been discovered in rubbish dumps in Egypt not that long ago, with Paul's writing on it. And they looked at it and thought, this isn't the normal sort of, you know, posh, up-tempo Greek language. This is very much what the language people used to use on shopping lists, on begging letters, on little notes to friends. So Paul put his hand out to those people who were classed as Gentiles, those people in poverty, those people hard to reach. His mission was to make sure the churches were inclusive, not exclusive, and that everybody would be treated equally, and everybody would have the opportunity to come to Christ. It's quite interesting, really. You know, you look at Moses and Paul, the freedom from slavery and what God's asked them to do in each case. And I just love these words. These words come up with Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We'll look at a little bit of that when we look at these shopping bags. But can we say to ourselves, I have fought the good fight? Can we actually say, difficult to know when we leave earth, but when we do leave earth, can we actually say we finished the race that God intended for us? And can we say, and I'm pointing the finger at myself as well, have we kept the faith? Second part of the reading, as I said before, there were so many extremely good parts in Galatians, but I picked out the part that says, freedom in Christ, under chapter 5. And verse 5, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cuts in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view, the one who is throwing you into confusion. Whoever that may be will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So I come to the second part. That reading, two lines, verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing it through love. We don't have to earn it. The price has been paid by the death of Jesus on a cross. Serve one another humbly in love. If we could clothe or reclothe ourselves, even feed ourselves with what God wants of us today, what would we place as righteous, godly, meaningful? And what would we place as maybe worldly, not godly? So shopping for what is important to us, what we feed us, what we clothe us, is really, really, really quite interesting. As you'll see in the bags in a minute. It's something, if I had a bit more time, I'd have loved to have gone into the clothing. Because there's, in Galatians, there's putting on Christ. In Colossians, there's clothing yourself with Christ. And there's an expression, when you see the red carpet and all the actors and actresses turning up, there is an expression, is who have you got on? So it's, and it, that come all the different brands and makes. But that will have to be for another sermon. What I'm going to do is ask for our two volunteer shoppers to come forward. I think this is important. I might have to leave out my little bit of reflective music, but I think this is important. So, black bag, one of you. White bag, the other. There we are. Okay. You've got this bag over here. You've got a bag each. Yeah. So you've got to take all the cans and bottles out. I will give you a bit of a hand, and we'll see what's on them, okay? So we're going to take them out first, and then we'll read them together. Right. Now, there's a little bit about values and what's important. I'm going to start reading these. I give more to charities. I do my bit. Okay, that was baked beans. I wish I had a nice car, like at number 57. Your turn to read a couple.
I'm worried about what people think.
Yeah, what people think of me.
I have got 359 friends, all on Facebook.
Ooh. I'm clever, and I have a first-class honours degree. I don't. Yours, yeah?
I only buy designer label clothes.
Ooh. Very untrue. One for you and one for me. Okay, I'll go first. I'm paying for Botox treatment. Yeah. Could have been the other way around, couldn't it?
I have more money in my account than anybody.
Wow. So there's shopper one. Let's see what shopper two's got, shall we? There we are. We'll do the same here. So, right, you go first. What have you got on your tomato ketchup? I'm intrigued.
We have faithfulness.
I've got joy on my sweet corn and patience on my tuna.
Kindness on mushy peas.
On mushy peas. Self-control. I wish I had more of this. Self-control in the brown sauce.
There's love on original custard.
Original custard, love. That's a well-placed one, I think. And I'll do this one, goodness, and the last one to you, Keita.
And peace on our bestow.
Okay. Round of applause to our two shoppers. We'll come to what that was all about. Thank you very much for volunteering so willingly earlier on. Now, just on that exercise, because it's so easy for us to lose our way, isn't it? So easy to think we've got to do certain things. It's so easy, actually, when we lose our way, to actually think some of these things are important. Friends on Facebook, and what car I'm driving, and how much money I've got on my account. It's not important, is it? Just not. The only thing is important is what's in here, what's in the heart, what the Holy Spirit has put into the heart. And the Holy Spirit has put into our heart the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not going to repeat all nine of those, but if we just do those things and open our heart to God, the Ten Commandments will happen anyway. And it is as simple as that. And it is difficult. In today's society, especially in the Western world, I think, when we got so much opportunity, so much choice, so much trivia, so much Snapchat, social media. I wasn't on Facebook for a very long time and left the college, left education. And my friends said, please go on Facebook, please go on Facebook. And it is interesting quite now and then to go on. I never write anything. But what I do is see what other people have written. And it's quite interesting to hear about other people's lives. But do you know, it can take over. That's the trouble. Things like that can take over. So to summarise, there is no other gospel. It says in Galatians 1, verse 10. And I'll just finish on that for you. And I've got a quote from a Cherokee to a granddad, which I want to share with you, depicting these two sets of shopping. So Galatians 1, verse 10, from Paul, very early on in Galatians. Am I now trying to win the approval of humans or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not a human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And just I promised a little Cherokee saying. I thought summed it up quite nicely. An old Cherokee says to his grandson, my boy, there is a battle between two wolves inside all of us. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lies and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, truth, and most of all, love. The boy says, Grandpa, which wolf wins? The old man quietly replied, the one you feed. Amen.